The baby brown timber sale is almost ready to be put out for bid again. And News Project Alaska Water Wars examines the Pebble Mine. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Barrett Wilbur. The baby brown timber sale is the largest piece of the Haines State Forest to be offered up for harvest in more than 20 years. Last year, the state canceled a deal with the single bidder after Haines's Lynn Canal Conservation pointed out a procedural flaw in the sale process. Now that's fixed, and the state is getting ready to put the timber back out to bid. The sale of an 855-acre stand of hemlock and spruce north of Haines was canceled last year when Lynn Canal Conservation successfully challenged the Department of Natural Resources procedure in preparing the sale. They didn't adopt a complete land use plan for the area. Greg Palmieri works for the Department of Natural Resources as Haines' forester.
With a process question that LCC raised, they said that before you can sell the sale, you need to do the forest land use plan for the entire sale. In our best interest finding,
the original document that says, hey, the state is going to sell this timber.
We outlined a process that said essentially the same thing.
Every state timber sale requires a forest land use plan detailing how an area will be logged. It includes the method and pattern of tree cutting, along with requirements for road building, planting new trees, erosion control, and more. Lynn Canal Conservation argued that the state got ahead of themselves. They put Baby Brown up for sale with a partial land use plan that covered just 137 acres, less than 20% of the total. Palmieri says the rest of the plan was on its way, but in order to complete it, he had to do boots-on-the-ground analysis of the forest. In summer, the new owners of the timber had to wait for that and wouldn't start making a return on their investment for another year. But two subsections had been assessed a decade ago. They were ready for work.
We offered it to give the operator an opportunity to get started on the sale. Once they purchased the contract, we didn't feel like it was appropriate to make them wait over a year.
But after reviewing the conservation group's complaint, the Commissioner of Natural Resources agreed with them. The department had promised a full plan before the sale. So the state canceled their $270,000 deal with Astoria Forest Products for the timber. They put Baby Brown on pause until there was a complete forest land use plan. That plan was finished in November. According to Greg Palmieri, it offers a mix of harvest options, from clear cut to individual tree removal, for about 20 million board feet. It's the largest sale in the Haines area for more than 20 years, and the largest parcel of state forest for sale anywhere. But it's not exactly premium timber.
This stand is a real mature stand. As far as quality goes, this is essentially a chip sale.
About three quarters of the sale is old growth, Palmieri says. Those trees were at their peak a century ago. Now 200 years old, they've lost resilience and resistance to disease.
As we get older, come to various different elements that weaken us, you know, and we're not any different than a tree in that case.
The complete plan kicked off a required month of public comment. Lynn Canal Conservation submitted one. Eric Holly is their executive director.
It's a particular shame to be following this policy that was created when there was a mill in town. There's no longer a mill here, so really the annual allowable cut doesn't make sense anymore.
The Department of Natural Resources said they'd already addressed the conservation group's concerns during their previous appeal to stop the sale.
There's some interest for the wood that's available on the Haines State Forest. So this is the direction that we get, generate income and support economic development in the communities that are surrounded by state resources in the most responsible manner that we possibly can.
Holly doesn't necessarily disagree with that goal, just the method.
What we really need around here is better access for the local small-time operators and to forget about these big sales that are primarily designed for export.
The state has adopted the final version of the land use plan. The biggest change? It includes all 855 acres. Anyone who commented on the draft can appeal the plan until February 5th. Holly says it's doubtful Lynn Canal Conservation will. If there aren't any appeals, the state will put the timber out for bid again. Palmieri says he doesn't know if the original buyers will give the deal a second chance. In Haines, I'm Barrett Wilbur.
This is Alaska Water Wars, sharing the stories of Alaska Native people and the prospect of large natural resource development projects coming to their homelands. This five-part series focuses on the Pebble Mine Project. Dacia Eaton reports.
Commercial fishermen are united in their opposition to development of the Pebble Mine in southwest Alaska. But the thousands of Native people who live in the region are divided on the issue. While some villages remain neutral on the project, taking a wait-and-see approach, many also worry that mining could impact drinking water, fish, and their cultures. Julia Salmon's life in the small village of Igiagik alongside the Quijack River revolves around subsistence.
Those are the two main things of my life I seem to know of, fish and berries.
Igiagik is situated where the Quijack River flows out of Lake Iliamna, down toward Bristol Bay, about 50 miles from the mine site. It's fall, and her freezer is full.
Down below is all fish, smoked salmon, or two-day smoke, the dried ones, and fillet. And the top is filling up with berries.
Julia is Yupik, Alaska Native. Where she lives, having a full freezer represents its own kind of wealth. Living in accordance with ancient traditions, people are happy to share with their extended families, the elderly, and the community at large. Julia says when she first heard about plans to build a mine upstream from her village, she felt angry.
When I first heard about it, I said, F*** them, I don't like that destroying up our, digging up our ground and putting all these toxins.
Her daughter, Alexana, is more diplomatic.
The change that will come with a development of that size will affect all levels of our life.
Alexana is village council president and holds several other leadership positions in the region. Igiagik has officially remained neutral on the project, but people are worried about changes mining could bring, she says, especially to water.
Well, our river is crystal clear and everybody really prides being able to still drink the water. It's the best tasting water on earth. And we have all different species of fish that we rely on and the migrating birds. And that tundra landscape supports a lot of different berries. Berry picking is very popular.
The arrival of salmon each summer brings the community together. It's an unbroken link to their ancestors, she says. And University of Alaska Anchorage professor of anthropology, Alan Boris, agrees. He contributed research from Bristol Bay Native Villages to the EPA's watershed assessment, on which the agency based its preliminary decision protecting Bristol Bay from a large mine.
The people of those villages have successfully made the transition from prehistory to the present based on the same keystone species, salmon. So they've been harvesting salmon for 4,000 years. And that's continued to this day. This is a rare thing in America. It's a rare thing in the world to have made that transition and have many of the traditional practices still intact.
Alexana Salmon says she knows her life in Igiagik is special. Life there shelters her, she says, from the consumerism that drives mines to be built. Even so, she recently accepted a paid position on an advisory committee for the project.
The mining company is going to prove that fish and mining can coexist. They will prove that. It is existing elsewhere in the world. For a moment in time, they'll coexist.
She says if the mine is built, she wants to be sure she has a seat at the table, as choices are made that could affect the region for a long time to come. In Anchorage, I'm Dacia Eaton.
Next time on Alaska's Water Wars, hear from a Native leader working with the mining company to create economic development in his region.
Alaska Peninsula Corporation has villages that are what I consider to be nearing the brink of abandonment. And we know that poor economy and lack of infrastructure are elements that contributed to those communities' current situation.
Alaska Water Wars is a multimedia project produced by reporter Dacia Eaton and photographer Brian Adams. Funding for this project comes from the Alaska Humanities Forum in partnership with KMBA and Kewaunik Broadcast Corporation. Learn more at alaskawaterwars.org or kmba.org.
Governor Bill Walker will give the annual State of the State address tonight at 7 p.m. KHNS will broadcast the speech live through Gavel, Alaska, thanks to our collaborators 360 North and KTOO in Juneau. The Skagway Assembly will also meet tonight at 7 p.m. For KHNS News, I'm Barrett Wilbur. Thanks for listening this evening.